local schools. Good people right here with Ingalls. To our guest lines, Eric Backetts, Clemson baseball coach, joins us. Good morning, Coach Backetts. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
I'm awesome. I got a couple of obscure stats to talk about this morning, but I want to get your overview of taking 2 out of 3 from Louisville in a series that was so close and so competitive, and really the two you won, you could have lost, and the one you lost, you could have won. It was a wild, three totally different kinds of games, but another very good weekend for you guys against Louisville.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I haven't heard that it framed that way. You know, the two we won, we could have lost, and the one we lost, we should have won. But that is exactly true. And, of course, you know, coaches, we only look at the one we should have won.
There was a
path to win that one, and that was disappointing because we didn't find it. And that's one where, you look in the mirror and say, I could have done something, one more thing, one less thing. You know, should have left him in, should have took him out, should have bunted, shouldn't have bunted, should have stole, shouldn't have stole, you know, like Monday morning quarterback that one all day long. But overall, 2 out of 3 from a very good ranked Louisville program, Louisville team, we'll certainly take it and move on, because we're in a stretch of our season that it just gets harder and harder.
I think if I'd have told you when we talked last Tuesday that you would have 3 times the amount of stolen bases they've had, that you wouldn't believe that one maybe. But you had 6 stolen bases. You held them to 2 stolen bases, which is hard against those guys. But part of that was in your 2 wins, you had 1 walk and 1 hit batsman. Now, it's a great offense they've got there, and they put pressure on you like crazy. But how important is it keeping those guys off the base pass, and you didn't give them any kind of freebies in the first 2 wins?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the starting pitching we got from Canuck and Titsworth was just phenomenal. Titsworth's first start, ACC Pitcher of the Week caliber start, just got that award last night. So that was big time. There weren't really any walks issued in all of Game 1. There was 1 walk on both sides issued in the game. So, sometimes that's the way it is. The zone is a little bit bigger, and there just aren't any walks being issued. And so it was, for us, part of our offense is getting those free passes. We've been really good at drawing walks this year. And, you know, we only drew 1 walk ourselves and didn't walk them at all. They jumped us right away, 5 spot in the first 2 innings. So we haven't been reliant on the 3-run homer. But, man, it was great to get a couple of 3-run homers, and of course none bigger than Jack Crichton's 2-out 3-run home run for first of his career.
Yeah, I know you say you second guess yourself, but you don't second guess putting Crichton back there in the lineup and then getting that nice hit. You talked about him before, he's coming on, and you know, his exit velo is good and all that, but the first home run, that had to feel good. McGovern gets a good strong inning, and then you turn it over to Garrison and Malstead. Huge to do that. Tell me about McGovern, because that's 2 outings now since you kind of held him back a few weeks, and he looked good once again.
Yep. Yeah, he was out with some tenderness, and so, you know, we're always going to err on the side of caution there and precaution. But, yeah, having him back, and he's just a funky look, you know, that high over-the-top look, and that good induced vertical break on his fastball, and then that, you know, that big depth curveball, and you know, he and Coach Bellinger have really worked on the changeup as well. So having him back in the fold, especially coming off of seeing a guy like Aiden Canuck, and then you just see a funky left-hander, it's a good way to pair him after Aiden. So we really like throwing him after that if the situation allows. So to him to have a quick inning, that was pretty cool.
You know, I talked about this in the past. I like teams that win in different ways. 2 3-run home runs and a 7-6 win. Then you turn it around and a 2-1 win. Give me the idea of Titsworth. He showed you some stuff before in one of the previous outings. What was the thought about starting him? And then what do you think of a 3 hits, 6 innings, 3 hits, no walks, and obviously no runs?
Yeah, when he went extended against Gardner-Webb in relief, that was really kind of – We've always used Drew as a 1-2 inning guy, and maybe he could, you know, go to 3. And then we extended him to almost 5 innings against Gardner-Webb, and it was just the thought was, well, if he can do that, there's no reason he can't start. And he's a big, strong, physical, durable kid. You know, he certainly physically can do it. So it's just more just being able to check that box. And so for him to make his first career start and go six innings scoreless and no walks, that was a bridge crossed for him, of a role change to now us considering him as a permanent starter.
I know, again, I'm going to gloss over what Reed and what Lucas did for you in the back of that bullpen once again, but much like McGovern, give me an idea of the key that Wentworth, he comes in, you know, Allen gives up the hit, and then three up, three down, Wentworth holds him at bay in a very tight seventh inning. What'd you think there? Why'd you go to him, and what'd you see from Wentworth?
Sure, yeah, the TP's got a slow heartbeat, you know, and he's got a premium slider. The metrics on his slider and the chase and the whiff and the, you know, just how that pitch plays up, it's a really good pitch. So I think that inning that two of the three hitters were left-handed and, you know, we needed strikes and TP's a strike thrower and he's got the special pitch. So, you know, we decided to give the nod to him and he's been very patient and wanting opportunities. And so we gave it to him and he was outstanding. And, you know, we had already, you know, we've extended Garrison Malstead a lot this year. I mean, we have ridden those guys like rented mules, and they are, you know, they are strong and senior and veteran and leader and all the things, and just have been so awesome. But there's a limit. There's a max upper limit to how much they can pitch. You know, you can't just throw them every game. And so they were unavailable on Sunday because we pitched them both on Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday. They were both unavailable on Saturday. And so, you know, so that was the reason for using the opener with Fitzgerald and then getting to B.J. Bailey so we could kind of work front to back instead of back to front like we usually do with Malstead and Garris available. But having other guys like TP and McGovern that can also bridge some innings in the middle when needed, it's really, really important for us to be able to have those trustworthy guys that we know are going to at least get strikes.
And then Chance and BJ, obviously, BJ goes seven innings against a really good offense, so all that in a wild seesaw kind of game. But what do you think of Chance's start, and what do you think of BJ coming in once again and give you some seven solid innings?
Yeah, I thought Chance, you know, as a predetermined opener, just go two innings, go once through the lineup. I thought he did great, gave up solo homer, which, you know, two innings, one run, I think we'll all take that. And then BJ, you know, BJ just, he thrives in that being able to come in the bullpen and just kind of stay in there a long time. And, you know, even when he's a starter, we consider him a starter, but he likes to consider himself that bullpen guy, you know, and even when he starts, he still runs in from the bullpen. He doesn't run in from the dugout. So I love that about him. I love that mindset because that's what makes him good. He needs to be a mentality of a sprinter, not a marathoner. And so it's just a bullpen guy that's going to come in and put a zero up in that one inning and then just do it again and then do it again and hopefully do it seven times. And that's what he did. He did it seven times. It wasn't all zeros, but, you know, BJ's turned out to be a very valuable pitcher for us just because he can give us some length, got two different breaking balls, got a changeup, and, you know, he just keeps getting better as time keeps going on. So the deal in that game was, we had a million scoring opportunities and we didn't cash in on hardly any of them. And it just, that there was so many for the taking. So, you know, you partly tip your cap to Louisville for wiggling out of so many jams, but, you know, you just can't, we've been so good at cashing in on those run scoring opportunities. And we had a basically bat a stinker on that final game where we just, for whatever reason, we just did it.
All right, you let us under the hood every once in a while. Two questions. The first one, did BJ talk? You went out there one time, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to stand up and clap this because BJ did great. But did he talk you out of it when you went out to take him out the first time?
No, we were putting on a play.
Okay. And, good.
Yeah, no, that one. Usually, you can kind of tell with the pace of you know, how I walk.
Okay.
A lot of times I'm just doing a slow walk to make sure I've given the bullpen guy enough time to get ready. And if I ever just run out there, it's just to either give him a vote of confidence or put on something specific because we think they're going to do something, whether it's bunt or run or, you know, put on a first and third play or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, and that one, it was more, I think that, you know, the chaos was starting to happen and it was more settling things down.
Believe me, Coach, we watched Mike Martin around here, Florida State, for years. Every one of your walks is a sprint compared to what we saw from legendary Coach Martin all those times. The other thing under the hood here, because you've been so efficient offensively, when you have a game like Sunday where you couldn't and everything that could go wrong went wrong there with the leaving 16 on base, do you address that? Do you brush it off? You burn the film? How do you handle that with your team?
Yeah, we've been honest with them at every turn, and you know, you look for learning lessons and opportunities for growth and all of it. So I think there's different but similar lessons to be learned. You know, we missed the squeeze, we had strikeouts with the bases loaded, and so, you know, we've been so good with the bases loaded early on, and then we haven't been as good with the bases loaded late. And so you start to look at the layers underneath. Okay, what's causing us to not cash in on these opportunities? And if it's something within our control, like an approach, then that's certainly something we can fix right away. And we don't want our guys guessing pitch to pitch. We want them to be able to execute an approach, whether we're on the heater or whether we're sitting on an off-speed pitch or whether we're looking up in the zone or out over the plate or whatever the case may be. We just want to burn the boats with that plan. There is no plan B. We just want to be able to execute the plan. And so we just, you know, I think we have to really, really look and see, you know, what's going on, what happened, why did we do that, what, you know, and then a lot of times it's just, you know, and I'll always say, it's, you know, if someone say, what happened? I say, bad coaching, you know. And so it's just, you got to point the thumb. This is part of, you know, one of the shared language things in our program of extreme ownership. Everybody's got to point the thumb, including myself. And if they didn't have a dialed in approach, then that's my fault for not communicating it well enough. And then the captains would then point the thumb next and say, well, they should have reiterated the approach to or whatever to the, you know, the guys going up to the plate. And then the guy at the plate, I should have known exactly what we were trying to do there. And so I think there's layers to it. But obviously it starts with me and us as coaches. And we just got to make sure we're cashing in on those scoring opportunities, because that's not a sustainable way to play offense when you have that many runners get on and not get them home. So luckily it hasn't plagued us all year. It was hopefully it's just one fluky game, but I can promise you we will get to the bottom of it and get it fixed.
NC State this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they come out yesterday and they're ranked. So that's going to be 11 straight games. And you're right in the middle of that right now against ranked opponents. Your thoughts on Georgia, your thoughts on NC State and pitching and how you're going to handle all this. And, again, a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a little bit different deal, but a big one tonight over at Doug Kingsmore at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we talked last weekend going into the Louisville series of, you know, we wouldn't want to go into the postseason, you know, playing some cupcakes and having the easy part of our schedule. If we're going to truly be battle-tested, we want the hardest part of our schedule going into the postseason. So we're mentally talking about really leaning in to the challenge of what these next few weeks bring. All ranked teams, like you said, three out of the four weekends, road weekends, in the middle of finals. You know, this is the week before finals for all of Clemson. Next week is finals, so you got two road series, you know, mixed in with finals. Like, we got all these X factors and variables, you know, some variables working against us, but we got to lean into it. And it's, you know, again, how we frame stress and adversity, and we got to smile at it and say, good, bring it on, let's go. And so that's what we're doing. We know if we're going to be the team that we're going to be, and we're going to compete to be the last team standing, then this is the type of schedule stretch that we need to be able to navigate in order to be the Omaha National Championship club we want to be.
All right, I'm going to press play here from the last 6 weeks I've asked you this. Gillen, will we see him this week, and how's he doing?
Yeah, I was hopeful that he might have been available on Saturday. It just would have not been smart, so instead we had him throw a bullpen on Saturday, which means he potentially could be activated. I don't want to say for sure, but there's a high probability he's activated this week, whether he throws tonight or whether he throws this weekend. I know we're everyone is excited to see us, you know, to see him in action and us have an additional option in that bullpen when he comes back.
I'm going to leave you with this, Coach. Could you do this all the time? And it's a little, again, behind the curtains a little bit deal. My friend Greg said, thank you for the sliding mitt surprise to the kids. You're so generous with the kids. And he said his son, Lawson, won't take his off right now. So great stuff once again. 8 o'clock tonight over at Doug Kingsmore. Top 10 battle, Clemson and Georgia. Good luck there. Good luck up in Raleigh. And let's talk about another big one with Florida State when we visit next week.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Mickey. Go Tigers.
All right. Eric Backich, EB, is elite.